Melachim Aleph, Perekat Aleph, Posagut Aleph. We spoke about how Shlomo HaMelech did hara b'eini Hashem. He did not listen to Hashem. He married many women, and these women all were makter to their avodas kechavim, and they did not follow the God of Shlomo. Now Hashem is punishing him. And in the rest of this parak, we're going to see at least the beginning how Shlomo HaMelech was punished. So Pasuk Aleph continues, Vayomer HaMelech Shlomo, Yan asher lehoisa zois imoch, v'leishamart abrisi v'chukois asher tzivisi alecho, since you do not listen to me, karoya ekra es kol es hamamlocha me'alecho v'nesatia le'avdecho. I will tear away the mamlocha, the kingship from you, I will give it to your slave. We're going to see later on exactly who this slave is. Yerovam. I will not do it in your days. We're going to see later on that there was some effect that did take place in the days of Shlomo HaMelech. It wasn't practical, it was more spiritual, but we're going to see that later on. Rak is kol mamlech le'ekra shevet echad etan l'gnecho, l'an David avdi u'l'man Yerushalayim asher b'charti. I will not tear away the whole kingship away from you. I will leave one shevet, the shevet of Yehuda. That I'm going to leave by you. And the rest is going to go to everybody else. To this slave of yours. So now we're going to see exactly how it happened. And v'yakom Hashem satan l'shlomo esadad ha'adoymi mizera ha'melech hu be'edoim. So this Hadad was the one that was gonna later on attack Shlomo. So what's the history? The Navi is now giving us the history of Hadad, why he hated Shlomo so much. So Pasuk Dezayin continues. Vayi b'yis David es Edoim ba'aloi siyev sar tzava lekarbas echalolim vayach kol zachar be'edoim. So when David went into Edoim to bury his dead, Yoav, the Sar Tzava, decided to kill out every male in Edom. He didn't kill the Malbim points out. He didn't kill out everybody. He did appoint a few final officials. Initially, when they overtook Edom, they didn't kill out anybody. Everybody. They left a few people there. But then, when he went to go ahead and bury his dead, the people of Edom rebelled against Yoav, against David, essentially, a second time. And that second time, he decided to wipe them out completely. And that's when he killed out all the Zachar, every single male in Edom, because any male has a din of a married Ramachus. He's a rebel against the king. The rebel against the king is punished by death, and that's why Yoav killed out all these males. He remained there for 6 months to make sure that, in fact, he managed to kill out all the males. And there were not any left in hiding or anywhere else. So he wanted to make sure that they're all there, and he killed everybody, and that's why he stayed there for 6 months, to make sure he really did the job thoroughly. However, there was one guy who managed to escape with a small group. Vayrach Adad hu vanoshim adoimi me'avdei aviv itoi lovi mitzrayim v'adad nar katon. So this Adad managed to run away. He was part of a small group. And he went over to Mitzrayim, and Paro took him under his wing. And we're going to see in a minute how close they actually were. So as they were traveling, as they were running away, they gathered more and more people from Paran. They came over to Mitzrayim, and over there, Paro gave them food, he gave them land, he gave them everything they needed. Hadad found favor in the eyes of Paro. He gave Hadad his wife's sister. Yeah? So his wife's name was Tachpanes.
This was a different Paro. This wasn't...
Right, right.
All right.
Yeah, every king of Mitzrayim is called Paro.
Yeah.
Right, so this was obviously many years later, and it was a different Paro.
I'm lost. Where is he going back to David?
So we're now giving the history.
We're talking about Shlomo. David's
true.
Gone a long time. Now he's going back.
Yeah, the Hanavi now is giving us the history of
this person.
Of this person, Hadad. Because
so it goes back to David's time.
Yeah, so Hadad is going to play a role. We're going to see
Hadad. That's what I thought it was saying, but okay.
Yeah, he's going to play a role in the Malchus of Shlomo. But now he's just giving us the history of why he hates Malchus Bis David so much. So David, or Yoav, the Sartzava, the general, killed out his whole nation, his whole people, Edom. Wow. He, with a small group of people, managed to run away to Mitzrayim, to Paro, and then he went ahead and he married, he found favor in the eyes of Paro, and he married Paro's sister-in-law. Paro's wife was called Tachpanes, and Tachpanes's sister, we don't know her name, but she was the one who married Hadad. Pasuk Chof continues.
Oh, I mean, it says he came to Paro, and who was he? That Paro liked so much about him? What
did he like about him? I don't know.
He was from the king people.
No, he was a simple guy. It doesn't seem like he was anything special. But he found favor in the eyes of Paro.
He got him a home, gave him substance, and
yeah,
I mean, there must be a reason. Not everybody would walk up to Paro and say, "Hey, hello, Paro, can I live here?"
Kind of. Well, they really came from Midian. They went from Edom. They went over to Midian, and then they went to Paran. And then they went to Mitzrayim. So, the Radakos actually points out that Hadad did have a lineage from the Malucha.
He had some yichus there.
He had some kind of yichus, I'm not sure exactly what, but he had something there. So that's why they took him, because even though he was just a little kid, but they took him, they wanted to make sure that they take him because he was the only one who had a lineage back to the king. So now, Pasuk Chof continues. The sister of Tachpanes, the wife of Hadad, gave birth to Gnuvas. Right? So the son of Hadad, his name is called Gnuvas. But Tigmileu Tachpanes, B'toich Beis Paroi. He was so close to the family of Pharaoh that the queen, Tachpanes, the wife of Pharaoh, she was the one who raised the child of Hadad and her sister. Right? That's how close they were. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just like, okay, like you're married now, you ship off, you know, to the suburbs, buy yourself a home, and, you know, come visit us once a year. They were very close, and they raised her son in the palace. Now he was so close that he actually became a son to Pharaoh, as if he was a son to Pharaoh. Now, once Hadad heard that David is dead, Yoav, the famous general of David, is also dead, he found an opportunity. Now was the time to strike back, to take revenge for all of the deaths of his own people. And so he tells Paroi, it's time for me to go. Why doesn't he want to stay in Mitzrayim? Why doesn't he want to carry out his revenge from his home base, his home turf where he grew up? The reason is, don't forget that Paroi married his daughter to Shlomo. So they were obviously best buddies. They were close. They were allies. He couldn't go ahead and carry out his revenge, attack Shlomo from Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim are allies with Shlomo. That's why he had to go back to his hometown, back to the city where he came from, and from there carry out this attack. Yeah? And he waited, he knew that David, it was impossible to defeat David, or to defeat Yoav. That's why he waited.
Well, David died, and the other guy died, and now he's going back to revenge himself.
Oh, he feels that, hey, now's the time.
Yeah, now's the time.
No chance. The main general's dead, and David's dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Paro lets him go.
So we'll see what happens. Paro doesn't want to let him go so easily. Remember, they were very close. Verily, Paro, kimat chaser imi. What are you missing over here? V'inchem avakish laleches al artzacha. You want to go back to your hometown? V'emaloi kishalech l'shalcheni. He says, no, I want to go. Thank you very much for all you have done. We had a great run together, but it's time for me to leave. Right? The Mitzvah Zavid points out that he wanted to go back to his hometown because he assumed that back in his hometown, he had two reasons. First of all, he couldn't carry out his attack from Mitzrayim. They were allies with Shlomo. Secondly, he wanted to hopefully gather people who still remember the attack of David and Yoav on their nation, and they, hopefully, the people over there will still remember. They would want to carry out their revenge together with him. That's why he wanted to go back to Edom. V'yakayim Elokim loy Satan esr zoyin ben El Yada asher borach meis hadad ezer melech tzoyva adoinov. So that was one person who wanted to take revenge against Shlomo. A second person who wanted to take revenge against Shlomo was this person Rezoin ben El Yada. What happened with this guy? So it's unbelievable. This guy actually owes David a favor. Why? Because David went ahead and killed the master of Rezoin, thereby freeing Rezoin to be a free man, and now he could go ahead. He gathered an army, and he became king in Damascus. Right? So he owes David a favor. Because if not for David, this guy Rezoin would still be a slave to his master Hadadezer. David went ahead and killed Hadadezer, the master of Rezoin, freeing Rezoin. And now Rezoin wants to go ahead and pay back the favor by attacking David's son, Shlomo. Unbelievable. That's the sense of gratitude that he has. They suddenly Israel call him a Shlomo v'Sarasher Hadad. They grace Israel v'im loich al Aram. So this was the second person. We have Rezoin ben El Yada, and we have Hadad, who both want to go ahead and harm Shlomo and the Jewish people. So now Hadad and Rezoin are working together to harm the Jewish people. Yeah? Now, it seems like from the pasuk that it said that they were causing trouble all the days of Shlomo. Right, the Malbim points out that no, it wasn't all the days of Shlomo. Rather, it's referring to the final days of Shlomo's kingship that they caused trouble. It wasn't before that.
Well, that's when he went bad.
Right. It's not, meaning it's not like it was. They caused trouble the whole time.
He says over here, he says once he heard David died, and the general that also died, that he would be able to take over because Shlomo was very young. But he didn't know that he couldn't do anything to him because God, Shlomo was still religious. I mean, doing what he was supposed to. He made an error. He thought, you know, but
Yeah.
But once Schleimer started getting away from Plato, so then there was the time he's going to get it.
Exactly. As long as we do Ratz and Hashem, no matter how much people hate us, nothing is going to happen. But the second we leave the ways from Hashem, then, uh-oh. Not good.
Here comes number three.
Right. Okay. So these are the two people that want to cause trouble. Now we understand their history, we know where they come from, what their reasons are, or lack of a reason. So now let's see what happens with the Malchus of Shlomo after he passes away. Yerovam ben Avos Efrosim min Hatzreda, b'shem ima Yitzruo ish almona eved l'Shlomo v'yorim yod b'melech. You have this guy, Yerovam ben Avot, who was the son of a widow, Yitzruo. He was a slave to Shlomo. And what did he do? He spoke out against the king. What did he say? What did he say to tell Shlomo? He told Shlomo, he told him off. And he said, how could you, Shlomo, go ahead and change what your father had done? What did his father do? What did David do? David went ahead and he made these openings in the wall surrounding Yerushalayim to allow the Oyle Regalim to come into Yerushalayim from any direction they came from. Instead of them having to surround, if they came from the other direction, they wouldn't have to surround the whole city, you know, to get to the opening, till the gate. Rather, they can come in from wherever they wanted. And there were many openings throughout the wall that allowed them to come in. Not only that, but there was a special place called Milay. Milay was built as a special place for the Oyle Regalim to come, to hang out, to rest, whatever it was. And what did Shlomo do? First of all, he closed off the walls of the city. Now, there was no longer a place for the Oyle Regalim to come in from any direction they came from. Rather, they could only come in through the gate, which was a great hassle to them. Secondly, in the Milay, he built a bais for Bas Paray. He took apart the Milay, the special place for the Oyle Regalim, and he built a house for Bas Paray. And Yerovam was the one to speak out against Shlomo and tell him, how could he do such a thing? David HaMelech did this for a reason, did it for the Oyle Regalim, you're going ahead and doing a disservice to the Oyle Regalim, going against what your father had done. Now, who was he to speak out against Shlomo like that? He was just a simple guy. So the Pasuk points out, Pasuk Chof Ches, V'o'ish Yerovam Gibor Choyl. He wasn't just a regular guy, he was a warrior. A chosh of a person. V'yar Shlomo Yisanar Ki Ois HaMelocha Hu V'yafkad Ois HaLechol Sevel Bes Yosef. Shlomo saw that he's actually very talented, and so he appointed him to be in charge of Bes Yosef.
Tax collectors, I think.
Yeah.
Nice job for George Boy.
Yeah. He's a tax collector. An accountant of sorts. So this is the first one. This is the opening for Yerovam to become king. Now that he's in charge of Beis Yosef, he can go ahead and he can speak out against Shlomo. Vayi beisai, v'yiravim yotzim Yerushalayim, v'yimtza isai achiyo ha-shiloini, ha-novi ba-derech, v'umiskas b'salma chadosha u'shneim levodom ba-sodeh. Yerovam goes out of the city, and he finds achiyo ha-shiloini, who was a novi. And this achiyo is wearing this cloak, a brand new cloak. They're standing alone. And what happens? V'yiz bais achiyo b'salma chadosha asher olav, v'yikru'el shneim asar kroim. He takes this new cloak that Yerovam was wearing, and he tears it to 12 separate parts. Take 10. So He tells Yerobam, okay, this now belongs to you. These 10 Shvatim are not going to be yours. Chaz Hashem said that I'm tearing apart these 10 Shvatim and giving them to somebody else. The Shevet Ha'echa, this one remaining Shevet, Yeloi, this remains with Shlomoi. The man Avdi David Lomani or Shlomoi, Yerusha Bacharti Va, Mikol Shivta Yisrael. Because of David, for Yerushalayim, want this one Shevet to remain with Shlomoi. If you do the calculation, 10 go to Yerobam, one remains with Shlomoi. How many Shvatim is that? Quick math.
So you're shot
10 plus 1.
You shot Binyamin.
Exactly. Where was Binyamin?
Because the base of Migdash was in your, on the borderline of Yehuda and Binyamin.
Right. Yehuda and Binyamin are considered to be one Shevet. Yes. That's why. So this one is really referring to Tushvatim, Yehuda and Binyamin. Yana shiras vuni v'ishtachavu l'ashtarais loike atzidonim lichmoy shaloike imoyo v'lemilkom aloike v'nei amoyin v'lehochul v'drochai las yosher be'inai v'chukoisai u'mishpotai k'david aviv. Because, again, Navi is repeating the chatoim, the sins of Shlomo, he did not follow my ways. He went against me, he worshipped idols, therefore I'm tearing apart these 10 Shvatim and giving them to you, Yerobam. From now on, he will not be king anymore. So we saw previously that the punishment did not actually take place during the life of Shlomoi. Rather, it happened only after he died. One thing, however, did take place in the life of Shlomoi, and that is that he was not called king anymore. He was now, from now on, he was called a Nasi. Doesn't mean that they actually changed his title.
Right.
And from now on, everybody called him Nasi. Yeah. Rather, it was more, in Hashem's eyes, he was a Nasi and not a king.
He's talking about when he took one of the babies from the wall, what they made Nisha part of the babies.
Micha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now here he's got him doing something which I thought they killed him way back then because he blasphemed against the Eibishter. It says so in Chumash.
The what? Again, who are you referring to?
He swore against Hashem. They had a fight, and he swore against Hashem and everything else. And then over there, they said that was the one that he saved. Here it seems the one that he saved is here later on, way back when. In the, when he grew up, he made an image what the Jews worshipped. What is it? I thought they killed him back in
Well, I'm not sure who you're referring to. You're
so
referring
Micha
to Micha?
Micha is in the beginning before.
No, but
before David and.
He made an image which occurs. Where was this? Doesn't say we were learning Chumash when he brings that up that he blasphemed against Eibishter, so they killed him because the Gachayv Misa. And now he's saying a different thing altogether about this person.
Who, Micha?
There wasn't two. There was only one that he saved out of them. There weren't two babies he saved.
Right.
When he grew up, he made an image which the Jews worshipped. When he grew up.
I don't know.
I always thought that they
yeah,
he died in way back there. All right,
I don't know.
I'm always grabbing these little things.
Yeah. In any case, so we see that from now on, he's called a Nasi. He's not called a Melech anymore. What's the difference between a Nasi and between a Melech? A Melech inherits his position to his descendants, to his sons. However, a Nasi, a president of sorts, does not inherit his position to his sons. Rather, it's only for him, and his sons do not earn it. And that's why he's called a Nasi, because he's not giving over this position to his children. Now, the Malbim points out that any nevuah that has an action together with it has to take place. Even if the person that was the nevuah was said about does tshuva, it does not change the nevuah anymore. If there's an action together with it, then it's gotta happen, no matter what. And that's why when we see that the Torah power of this garment is 11 pieces, it had to happen, it had to take place, because it had an action together with it. Pasuk Lamed Hei continues, V'lakachti ha-melucha mi'ad b'noi, v'nasatia l'cha sar shvatim, and we'll take away the melucha from his son, and I will give you these 10 shvatim. V'livnoi et en shevet echad. Again, for his son, I will leave one shevet, the shevet of Yehuda, and the shevet of Binyamin. L'man heis nir l'david avdi kol ha'yamim, l'fonai v'yoshalayim ha'ir, shevachati li l'sum shmi sham. I will leave this one tribe in Yerushalayim for David, because again for David, my slave. Yeah. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Va'oyischa egach u'malachta b'chol asher ta'avin afshecha va'yis ha'melech al Yisrael. I will take you, and you will now be the king. And you can rule however you want, right? V'hoyim tishma es kol asher etza sveko v'alachti v'shrochei v'asisa yosher b'inei l'shmar chkoysa mitzvoysa kasher osa dobi d'abdi v'hoyisi imach uv'nisi l'cho b'ayis neman kasher b'nisa l'dobi v'nastati l'cho as Yisrael. He's telling your Rav the same thing you told David. If you will in fact follow my ways like David did, then you're good to go. I will ensure the fact that you will continue the melucha, your sons will continue the melucha, and everything will be okay. I will torture, literally, that's the translation means, not torture, but I will punish the descendants of David. They will not have the melucha. However, this is a very important line that this pasuk ends off with, Achloi kol hayomim, not forever. The Radak points out very, very important lesson that mikan tshuva, from here we find an answer to those who say that, oh, listen, the Christians claim today, we see clearly, the Jews are in exile, the Messiah had not come, clearly Hashem does not want the Jews anymore. He left them. Right? Clearly. So the Radak points out and he says, "See the lach of Limos Mashiach. The Machus will return to Beis David during the days of Mashiach." Mikan tshuva la'omrim sham anu matzapim yimei melech Mashiach ki lo yiyeh. This is an answer to those that say, oh, we're waiting in vain, the Mashiach is never going to come. Clearly over here the Navi says that yes, the Mashiach will come eventually. I will not torture the descendants of David forever. Now, later on, when the Melucha did return to the household of David, after the Golos came back from Babel, during the second Beis HaMikdash, that is only referring to the Shvatim of Yehuda and Binyamin. Those are the only ones that returned. The 10 Shvatim did not come back. So we find that not all the Shvatim were under the Melucha of David, the descendants of David, rather only 2 Shvatim.
Sancherev took care of
them. Yes, Sancherev, Bilbel and Ben Umais.
about 150 years before the Korban of the second base of English, Sanherib.
Yeah.
I remember it well.
Good for you. I didn't realize you were that old. V'yivakesh Shlomo l'homis es Yerovam. Shlomo now sees he's got a problem on his hands. Yerovam, this guy Yerovam, is trouble. V'yokim Yerovam v'yivrach Mitzrayim al shishak melech Mitzrayim v'yivim Mitzrayim ad mois Shlomo. Yerovam gets up, he runs away, and he seeks refuge by Shishak melech Mitzrayim. Shishak supplies Yerovam with a sanction, and he does not return him to Shlomo. V'yezer divrei Shlomo, b'chosher also v'chachmasei aloihem k'suvim al sefer divrei Shlomo. The rest of the melucha of Shlomo is in the sefer of Shlomo, which unfortunately we do not have. V'ayomim asher malach Shlomo v'Yerushalayim al kol Yisrael arba'im shana. Shlomo was king for 40 years. He became king when he was 12, and he died at the age of
52.
Very young age, unfortunately. Very young age. He died at a very young age. Again, this is part of his punishment. So just like his father David was king for 40 years, David was king for 40 years, but he was not a king over the Holy Israel for 40 years. For the first 7 years, he was a king in Hebron, only over the tribe of Yehuda. For another 33 years, after Shaul died, he was king over the rest of the Shvatim. But that brings us to a total of 40 years. So David was king for 40 years in total. And Shlomo was a king for 40 years in total. But Shlomo's melucha was whole. He was a king over the whole Israel for 40 years. Whereas his father was only king for 33 years over all the Jewish people. V'yishkav Shlomo im avaisav v'yikover be'ir David aviv v'yim lechavchavam b'noi tachtav. So he died, he was buried, and his son Yerachavam became king under him. And we're going to see next week, hopefully, how the melucha was taken from Rechavam, and the punishment of Hashem actually took place, and Rechavam was not king over all the Jewish people anymore. Okay.
Where's Rechavam's...